Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Have you ever prayed for something and received an answer almost immediately? What did that do for your faith? How did it excite your expectations, and how did it energize your asking? Did it motivate you to look for more answers and even to get on your knees a bit more? A young boy had been coming to a church through their Sunday school program and decided to attend the Saturday prayer meeting. Before they prayed, the elders asked him what he would like prayer for. He responded that he'd like to pray that his family could come to know Jesus as well. As the elders closed their eyes and bowed their heads, they heard small footsteps running out of the chapel. "Wait," they said. "Where are you going? Don't you want to pray with us?" "I do," he said. "But if my family's going to come to know Jesus, I sure want to be there to see it." You see, that little boy knew what Paul knew. God was paying attention to his prayers. After all, if you're going to pray for rain, shouldn't you bring an umbrella? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul begins by thanking God for the direct answers to his prayers in the letter of 1 Thessalonians. Let's read verse 3. "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." Now, what's really cool about this passage is that Paul is thanking God for the direct answer to the prayer he prayed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Let me read it and see if you can spot the fulfillment from what Paul just said to this prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you, and may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other, for everyone else, just as ours does for you." Sometimes we shoot prayers into the air like people firing guns into the sky on the 4th of July, without purpose and aim, just adding to the noise, but not too concerned what they hit. Paul, however, teaches us that keeping track of what we pray can actually help us convert prayer into worship, meaning we thank him when he answers. Answered prayer, by the way, is worship fuel. What goes up must come down. And when Paul sent prayers up, he believed that answers came back down. And for Paul, what came down went back up as worship. And Paul specifically says, we ought to thank God for you, as is right. Right in what way? Well, Paul knows it's right to thank God for answering his prayers. As you'll see, the Thessalonians needed all the prayer they could get. They were in the middle of the furnace of persecution, and the heat was getting hotter. When Paul planted the church in Thessalonica, he himself had been driven out of town by the Jews, who were zealous and jealous for the law of Moses, because they thought Paul was destroying the Jewish faith with this new thing called Christianity. So Paul had to be on the move to Berea and leave Timothy and Silas behind in Thessalonica to keep ministering to the people there in his absence. So Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians boasted that their reputation for endurance and love was on fire in their city and the cities surrounding them. Paul's boasting of the strength here in verses 4 through 5 continues. "Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring." What trials were they enduring? The same persecution that Paul got when he was there. And Paul uses their persecution to kick into their understanding of the return of Jesus so he can correct it. Here he tells them two things. Number one, God's enemies will suffer punishment. And number two, God will inflict blazing fire and eternal destruction. Well, those are some big boy words, and Paul had his big boy pants on here. So let's read verses 6 through 10 so we can understand the flow of Paul's thinking. Verse 6, "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might." on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. Note how skillfully Paul is untangling the Thessalonians' poor understanding of Jesus' return, caused by the false teachers who told them Jesus already came and they missed him. Paul is saying that relief from persecution will only happen when Jesus is revealed from heaven with blazing fire. Now, they couldn't miss that, could they? Paul used the word revealed here on purpose. There was no secret return of Jesus. You see, when Christ returns, it's the end of the world. There's no secret appearing that believers can miss. In Ghostbusters, the mayor asked Dan Aykroyd's character what he meant by disasters of biblical proportions. Aykroyd answers in his classic line, "What he means is Old Testament, real wrath of God stuff. Fire and brimstone coming down from the sky, rivers and seas boiling," to which Bill Murray adds, "Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria." But the worst part of God's wrath here is mentioned in verse 9, actually being separated from God. Paul says they will suffer punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His might. Of all the things that a soul could suffer for eternity, it's suffering from the knowledge that there was a God. And not only was there a God, it was a God who loved you and offered you the chance of receiving His grace and unmerited favor, love, and mercy. And deep down, you knew it, but you rejected it all and gambled an eternity away on a losing bet. And Rice once quipped, "Nobody goes to hell by accident." God is always just, but He'd prefer to be merciful. And note that mercy is also in this passage for all who believe. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That's why Paul says, that includes you, because you believed. And if you're listening today and you feel like you're on the wrong road, all you need to do is believe. Put your faith and trust in Christ and you'll be saved. Paul says that on the same day that unbelievers are judged, Christ will also be glorified in His saints. In the same way, the return of Jesus will be amazing for believers, but a bad day for non-believers. For those who believe, it's the ultimate rescue. But for those who don't believe, it's a day of judgment. But probably the most amazing thing is that we get to see Him, finally see Him. It's amazing to think that our awe and fascination with Jesus will only grow when we see Him. Have you ever had someone tell you about how great a film was or how majestic something was, but when you saw it, you're like, meh? Some things become disappointing when they're finally seen up close, but not Jesus. C.S. Lewis said that experiencing God in heaven will be like an onion that peels in reverse. The more layers you pull back on God, the bigger He gets. And my friends, we have an eternity. That's why Paul used the term here, marvel. Perhaps you've seen a Marvel movie. I'm old enough to remember Iron Man as the first good Marvel movie ever made. But Paul is pointing the Thessalonians, who are going to be persecuted, to the day when Jesus will vindicate them and the tables will be turned on God's enemies. Perhaps you think that's harsh, but it's what Paul talks about, because people who reject God make Him their enemy, not the other way around. Surely Paul gets no pleasure from stating the truth, but he does state the truth. Paul had had enough of the lies of the false teacher and the havoc it was causing in the Christians. So he ends the chapter by praying another prayer. Read it for yourself today and see that the same God that answers prayers also keeps His promises. Just like He promised to save you, He's going to come back for you too. And I hope you'll come back for chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.